Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. This is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And you're whispering, I guess, in an attempt to be quiet.
Right.
Because we're in a sort of quiet room.
It's padded.
It's padded. Though on the other side of the padding, there are windows.
I can't move my arms.
And on the other side of the windows, there is a train and traffic and occasionally helicopters and sirens, birds slamming into the glass, all that sort of fun stuff. So occasionally we have to take breaks here as we record for outside sounds.
But we attempt to keep the sound of the world at bay with all of this padding.
Right. And also by keeping our volume up. When you whisper like that, you're actually doing us a disservice. Because as we'll discuss in this podcast, the quieter it gets, the more you hear.
So I really get your attention, don't I?
Yeah. Well, let's be quiet for a second. Let's see if they can hear the ambient sounds of the studio. Terrifying, isn't it?
It kind of is, actually. Yeah. I don't know if you guys can pick that up. Probably not, but it does have kind of like a 2001 sound to it.
Yeah.
Just sort of the void, but something there. So we're taking on the subject of quietude, and we're taking on the subject through a vehicle called literally the quietest room in the world.
Yes. Now, the subject of quiet, the sound of silence and all that, reminds me a lot of some of what we touched on in our older episode, Splendid Isolation.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about isolation and to a certain extent sensory deprivation and loneliness, and talking about how for a lot of us we have this weird thing where, you know, we want isolation. We want to move away from people. But if we get too much of that, we're going to go past the beneficial stage of isolation, and we're going to get into the harmful levels of it. And likewise with quiet, we see a similar thing. I think more and more we live in noisy, busy lives. You know, the world is full of sound. The world is full of movement and energy. And for a lot of us, there comes a point where you just want to be in a place where there's no sound. You want to find that monastery on a hill. You want to find that secret library, that secret garden, and just get away from it and shut it all off. I think it's important to have that in some way, shape, or form. But then what happens if you do enter a place that is so quiet that there is almost no sound at all? Then what can that do to
you? It's horrifying to the brain, really.
Yeah.
It's inconceivable.
Because the brain is not, we don't have monastery brains. We have, we have busy city brains. We have chirping bird brains. We have brains that need various bits of input coming in and giving us a changing, constantly altering view of the world. But if the view of the world is just nothing, then things can get out of hand.
Well, and human hearing is certainly part of this, the something of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a great article by George Mitchelson Foy called Shut Up and Listen from Psychology Today, and he talks about human hearing as being a beautiful, sensitive system of organic microphones, signal processors, amplifiers, like your home stereo, only better. And what happens when you switch on your home stereo? Well, it gives off a very faint hum. The same is true of your hearing apparatus. Like any sound system, it generates its own little hum when working. And so this is sort of a natural state of ourselves and our beings and our machinery. We just don't think about it. We think about when we want to, you know, do a forced shutdown of our brain or enter into this silence, this quietude,
mm-hmm.
that it should all be absolute silence. But it cannot be.
Right, because you inevitably, you would just hear the sound of your hearing. You'll hear the sound of your blood circulating, of your heart beating, of your own breathing. Just kind of the stillness of the air almost. And, the quieter it gets, the more your ears listen.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, if you guys will indulge me for a second, our tone map in our ears. Because I think this is really interesting. Because we usually think, oh, okay, well, we take in sound and it vibrates in our ear and it goes to the middle ear and so on and so forth and it ricochets. Well, we all know sort of the basics of that. So beyond, making our eardrums vibrate, there's a lot going on. These vibrations cause nerve hairs in the inner ear to shiver, and that triggers electric signals that travel along the auditory nerve into the brain. And then one of the first stops is a patch of gray matter called the auditory cortex. Now, this is where everything happens. We usually think that noise happens, or the perception of it happens in the inner ear, but it's the auditory cortex in our brain. And each nerve is tuned to a particular frequency of sound and excites only certain neurons in the auditory cortex. And then as a result, the neurons in the auditory cortex form what is known as a tone map. And the neurons at one end of the auditory cortex are tuned to low frequencies, and the farther you go toward the other end, the higher the tuning of the neurons.
So the auditory cortex, you can almost think of it as a musical instrument. And it is, the musical instrument is played upon by these electrical impulses.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like an elaborate feedback system too, mm-hmm. because the neurons do more than just relay signals forward into the brain. They also signal back down the line and they reach to neighboring neurons that are tuned to nearby frequency, exciting some and then muzzling others. Sort of reminded me of when we were talking about memory last week, about how, with memory, you have certain neurons, excited clusters,
mm-hmm.
that are rising up and tamping down other competing neurons to bring a memory forward. It's a little bit similar to the way that we're perceiving sound and processing it, right? You've got these excited neurons that are making their way and sort of crossing with other frequencies. And so these are kind of like feedback controls, and they allow us to sift through those incoming sounds and figure out the most important information and how to make sense of them without being drowned out by all the other meaningless noise around us.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will enter the quietest room in the world. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, we're back, and we've talked about sound. We've talked about how it enters the brain, how we perceive it, how it contributes to our understanding of the world, and we've touched on how when we begin to crank down the sound in our life, we begin to hear more of the noises that are often hidden. Mm-hmm. Even when the speaker, to your point, even when the speaker is not playing, there is a humming, and we don't notice the humming when the speaker is blaring some music at us, but when the speaker is on, but silent, it's not really silent.
Right, so, you've got that feedback system going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So, if we were to travel to Orfield Laboratories in Minneapolis, we would find a room that blocks 99.99% of all sound.
That's right. And let's enter this chamber. In order to enter this chamber, which is also called an anechoic chamber, we must pass through two vaults to get into it. And it is a room that is so soundproof, it is officially listed as the quietest place on Earth. This is according to the Guinness World Records.
They wouldn't lie because they keep me updated on how many eggs people can eat and who's the fattest. So
that's what they do, man. They take names and they tabulate all this stuff. The room is used sometimes for technical analysis. For example, companies testing out the sound of a switch or a dial or some other mechanical component. In fact, past clients have included Whirlpool and Harley Davidson, which use the chamber in an effort to produce quieter motorcycles.
They want quieter motorcycles?
Yeah, I know. You would never know in Atlanta because it's just, it's like packs and packs of crazy loud motorcycles. But it is also used, this room is also used as a psychological chamber of will.
Yes. So how's it constructed? What is it made of? How do you make a room that is so devoid of sound? Because clearly we're not in one right now. and it would take quite a lot of work to really get that kind of soundless construction. For starters, the chamber features 3.3-foot thick fiberglass acoustic wedges, double walls of insulated steel, and foot-thick concrete. And again, this enables it to be 99.9% sound absorbent with a decibel rating of -9.4 dBA. So any sounds below the threshold of 0 dBA is undetectable by the human ear.
True. Like, so it's virtually like zero sound being, you know, bounced off the walls here. And that's what's so interesting here, too, is that it is under the radar of human sound. Mm-hmm. As you say, -9.4 decibels. We hear at zero and above.
Right.
So what happens here, that's where the psychological will, chamber of will comes into play. What happens here is that people go a little bit nuts.
Yeah, because it's quiet.
It's quiet.
Too quiet.
Yeah, like crazy quiet. There's a mesh floor and the ceiling. And as you mentioned, you have that meter-long fiberglass acoustic wedge in there. So what happens when you put a human being in there? Well, they become disoriented. Or they even experience hallucinations. Because after a few minutes, founder Stephen Orfield told the Daily Mail, he says, your body begins to adapt to the soundlessness, picking up smaller and smaller sounds. You'll hear your heart beating. Sometimes you can hear your lungs, your stomach gurgling loudly. And then in the anechoic chamber, you become the sound. So all of this becomes really disorienting in mm-hmm. space and time. In fact, there's a chair in there for the sole purpose of allowing people to try to figure out their place in space and time.
Huh.
Because they don't have the normal...
I assume it's not squeaky.
I would hope. Wouldn't that be the worst?
I would.
But the idea is that we don't think about it, but the vibrations around us and kind of give us these auditory cues about where things are in space and time. And if you don't really have that, then you begin to feel as though you're sort of unmoored from your reality. And it turns out that people who are in there for more than 30 minutes have to sit down. And the longest that anybody has ever made it in there is 45 minutes.
Wow. Because, yeah, after a while, you begin to hear more and more of these real sounds, as you mentioned, but then you inevitably can end up hearing these unreal sounds as well. Audible hallucinations can occur.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got that tone map kind of going nuts with what it does and doesn't have mm-hmm. available to it.
And it starts filling in the blanks.
Yeah, as you had mentioned in the last podcast, there's a 2009 study that shows that in another chamber, that it was just 15 minutes before people started to hallucinate one way or another.
Because again, our brains have not evolved to live in a world of such silence. We've evolved to live in a world full of sounds, sounds that our brain has to decipher in order to navigate our way safely through it.
It's
and
true.
So at this point, our brain is saying, I don't know, man, it's all quiet. Let's listen harder. Let's listen harder. Let's fill in the blanks because there might be something out there that could kill us. Something out there that could sustain us, and we need to know where everything is.
Right. I mean, we are built for sound, and to take that away is to really scramble the brain and for the brain to actually lose some of its purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will not be surprised that NASA has also used the room.
Yes.
And, of course, they've ratcheted up the sensory deprivation levels by, of course, putting a water-filled tank in the room for astronauts to plunge into just to make it a little bit more intense. And to figure out how long it takes before hallucinations start to set in.
Yeah, because as we've mentioned in a previous episode, the you know, what is a spaceship? What is a space station? But a form of sensory deprivation. It is at the very least just a portion of our natural environment that is completely cut off, like on a planetary scale from where we're supposed to live. So you're going to be isolated from outside sounds. Sound is going to travel a little differently inside the capsule. It's just going to be a totally different experience. So the more we know about how this affects the human body and how we can roll with the effects and also limit the detrimental effects, all the better.
And the more that Commander Chris Hadfield can post those awesome videos, right, for us all to enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, it makes more sense. You know, it's like, of course you let the man bring a guitar up there
yeah.
and cut a music video because, you know, aside from being very educational and really, you know, really overall just really great for the space program, all the videos he was doing up there and also the fun stuff. But also, it keeps somebody from going nuts. It would have been a totally different YouTube series if he had just been going gradually insane from hearing no sound and no music.
Right, right, exactly.
You know, among the many detrimental effects of exposure to such prolonged and ponderous silence, mm-hmm. is a spontaneous tinnitus.
That's right, because it's believed to be a response of the auditory cortex, which we talked about, to the abnormal absence of all ambient sounds. And we really started to think about this tinnitus, sometimes called tinnitus. I believe that either way is correct. But we began to think about this. This really is the opposite of silence, or what we think about silence, because it's often called this sort of low ringing of the ears or this humming sound. And a lot of people are affected by it. And in fact, one of our listeners, Aaron, actually emailed us about it when we were talking about a different topic, emotions in outer space. And let me just read a quick excerpt of that. He says, funny you should happen to mention my tinnitus request at the end of today's Emotions in Outer Space episode, because as you guys were discussing how maddening the idea of a completely silent room would be, I was just thinking to myself, holy crap, you have no idea. Speaking of which, because he has tinnitus, of course, speaking of which, here's an MP3 I made a while back, which simulates to the best of GarageBand's ability what my tinnitus sounds like. For the most convincing effect, play it in a quiet room at a level just above that of whisper. Enjoy. You won't. So we're going to have a quick clip of that so that everybody can kind of understand what we're talking about when we talk about tinnitus.
Yeah. So that, I could see where that would get a little old really fast.
Right, yeah.
Now, it's worth pointing out that about one in five people experience this. And the way that the noise is described by people who experience it, it ranges from a ringing to a buzzing to a roaring to a clicking to a hissing. And it can be caused by a number of different things. It's a symptom of an underlying condition. Generally, we're talking stuff like age-related hearing loss, ear injury, or circulatory system disorder.
Although it's worth noting that tinnitus affects nearly half the soldiers exposed to blasts in Iraq and Afghanistan. And
yes.
as we continue to have a lot of noise pollution in our modern life, this is one of those issues that keeps coming up again and again, that more people are exposed and more people will have some sort of hearing damage, because we'll talk about this in a little bit, but the hearing damage is directly related to that map, that tone map, in our brains. But, I wanted to just give a little bit more of a description of tinnitus. Aaron, I thought, would be a good person to ask about this. He said that he first noticed it as a kid. He said, I can't say when I first noticed it, but it was definitely when I was a kid. The way I always remembered it, and it's still true today, is that the sound of the ringing to me sounded almost exactly like the high-pitched sound you'll sometimes hear when someone would turn on a CRT television. And I had asked him, too, if you are in a moment when you have a state of flow or you're really enjoying yourself. He's a photographer, for instance. He's a really awesome photographer, by the way. I said, you know, does it make it stop? And he said, yeah, if I'm doing something engaging, I tend not to even notice. Not that it isn't there, just that it gets tuned out like a nagging spouse. Am I right?
Oh, Aaron.
Yes, you are. So, yes, the brain can kind of deal with it, but for the most part, it's there and it can be very maddening. And people have been trying to find solutions to this because it can really be very unsettling. And there are ways to go about dealing with it, but some of that is, you know, related to lidocaine, for instance, or cognitive behavior therapy. Mm-hmm. But there is no magic bullet for this.
Yeah, I would mention that even portable music devices like MP3 players and the like can contribute to this exposure to loud noises over time in the same way that, you know, explosion could do it, but also prolonged exposure to loud music. So I do recommend that if you have a listening device of this nature, try turning down the max volume on it to prevent unnecessary damage to your hearing. I mean, you'll hear various accounts of famous musicians who suffer from this just because they've continually put themselves in an environment where they're around blaring speakers.
Yeah, actually, one of our coworkers is a drummer in a band, and he just told me today that he has it. So, yeah, I mean, there are a bunch of different reasons why people can experience it. Even lightning, there have been accounts of people who have been near lightning, ground lightning strikes, and have had some hearing damage as a result.
Earwax blockage can do it.
Yeah.
To your point that you made in a previous episode, some earwax is good, but a lot of earwax is bad.
It could be bad. Yeah. Don't ear candle it out, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Ear bone changes, and then TMJ disorders. There's a long list of things that can contribute to this.
So what's going on in the brain when this happens? tinnitus actually arises when that flexibility in our tone map goes bad. So again, we talked about the ways that those sound vibrations find the frequencies, and they've got the tone map in the auditory cortex. So things kind of go awry when, let's say, you have toxic drugs or those loud noises, and you have damage to the nerve hairs in the ears. That's really a story about damage to those hairs that are picking up the frequencies. And the injured nerve hairs can no longer send signals from the ear to the tone map. So it's, again, it's not the inner ear making the noise, but the tonal map. So if you don't have these incoming signals coming in as they normally would, the neurons undergo a transformation. They start to eavesdrop on their neighbors, firing in response to other frequencies. And they even start to just fire randomly without any incoming signals. And then as the brain's feedback control gets rewired, the neurons end up in a self-sustaining loop producing a constant ringing. That's why it's always that low level, although sometimes it's exacerbated and then the volume of it seems to increase. But that's why it's always there and always present. And I thought that was very interesting because, again, what you're talking about here is a type of hallucination by the auditory cortex or a crossing of signals or just absolute firing out of nowhere. And trying to fill that void of sound from the damaged hair receptor. Okay, so there are a couple of ways that you can kind of go about it in terms of treating it. And as I mentioned, cognitive behavioral therapy is one of them. I did want to point out that this is something has been going on long into our history. The Assyrians used to pour rose extract into the ear through a bronze tube.
Well, that sounds delightful.
Right, to try to alleviate it. The Roman writer Pliny the Elder suggested that earthworms boiled in goose grease be put in the ear.
That sounds significantly less pleasant.
This is my favorite. Medieval Welsh physicians in the town of Midify recommended that their patients take a freshly baked loaf of bread out of the oven, cut it in two, and then, quote, apply to both ears as hot as can be borne, bind and thus produce perspiration, and by the help of God you will be cured.
Oh my goodness, I hope there are some illustrations of that. Because I'm just picturing like medieval peasants out of a Bruegel painting, you know, walking around with loaves of bread, giant loaves of bread stuck to their ears. That would be phenomenal.
Right, and then they get teased. They're called bun ears. That's just no
bunny
fun.
Ears, loaf ears.
Yeah,
oh man,
yeah.
You just go nuts with that.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it?
Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
So now, you know, fast forward to our modern times, and there is an interesting tact that some physicians are taking, and this is music therapy. And I thought this was really interesting. Christo Pantev and his team at the University of Munster successfully rewired their tinnitus patient's tone map by taking the patient's favorite music and removing from it audio frequencies that matched that person's tinnitus.
Huh.
So this is called notched music, and it contains no energy in that frequency range, the one that's bothering them, that's surrounding the tinnitus frequency. So there's actually a program, that does this, that you can go in and do this. There's a YouTube video tutorial of that will show you how to ascertain your tinnitus frequency and then to take it out of your favorite music. It's pretty cool.
That is awesome.
So after 1 year of listening to, their favorite notch tunes, test subjects reported a significant decrease in the loudness of the ear ringing, and that was compared to a matched group of tinnitus patients who listened to a placebo or unaltered music. So what's more, and this is really interesting, is that the brain scans found that the neurons tuned to the tinnitus frequency in the auditory cortex became less active. So they saw this decrease. Now, what all this is pointing to is that this idea of brain plasticity that we've talked about again and again, and there are doctors who have likened it to when you lose a limb, a phantom limb, that you still get senses from that, but your brain begins to adapt, and then it begins to take up the senses of the other fingers and incorporate that. So the idea is that perhaps the brain's auditory cortex, that map, could be rerouted in a way that it could take up the other frequencies in a way that it doesn't create that feedback loop.
Hmm.
So there's some measure of success there. You know, obviously, again, there's no magic bullet here.
Right, but there are a number of ways to mitigate it and to treat it.
Yeah, there's a path at least to say there could be a way to, in the future at least, really isolate it and figure out a good solution.
Yeah. Now, my one problem with that last study you mentioned was that even though there was a control group, there was not a group that had pumpernickel on their ears.
That we know of.
Yeah. But I think in the name of fairness, you need your normal control group, you need your pumpernickel group,
uh-huh.
you need your earthworm, goose liver pate group, you need your group that has the rose water and the copper tube.
Well, I would argue that you would also go ahead and just say sourdough.
Yeah.
Because I mean perhaps the attributes of these different types of breads would have different medicative effects. I don't know.
Maybe there's an Ayurvedic method that uses naan. I don't know.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some Ayurvedic methods for treatment on this I have to look up. I'm sure there may even be a mudra for it. I don't know.
That's the little hand movements
that you
meditate with.
A lot of those are digestion-based, though, so maybe not. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking out there. Tinnitus, it's a pain. All right. It's something that can be treated. There's no magic bullet. But is tinnitus a god?
Well, if it's a god, first let's lay some groundwork. First, you'd have to say that nearly everybody would experience it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to take this nutty theory and run with it.
And we should point out George Mitchelson Foy, author of Shut Up and Listen, hit an article about this in Psychology Today. He is the chief proponent of this this theory. It's more of a thought experiment than anything, a philosophical thought experiment. But this is his brainchild. And I dare say he's probably the only person who thought of this previously.
It's interesting.
It is a very interesting idea. It's not a serious argument that he's making, but it is a very, very interesting philosophical question that is potentially answered by his condition.
Yes, and he lays the groundwork to this assertion of God in tinnitus by saying, okay, there are a lot of people who could be sufferers of this. And in fact, I started to think about this. I started to think about misophonia, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a sensitivity to certain noises, and that is particular to each person. And people have argued that misophonia exists within each of us. There's one little thing, like the rubbing of balloons for me. I can't stand it.
Yeah, people chewing their gum.
Yeah, everybody has a trigger. So George Mitchelson Foy brings up this study, this Swedish study from 1953, which took 80 college students who swore they didn't have tinnitus, and they put each one of them in a soundproof environment. And the authors Heller and Bergman concluded that audible tinnitus was experienced by 94% of the 80 apparently normally hearing adults when placed in the situation where they had some ambient noise level. So what he was saying then, if that's the case, then most of us experience this. And if we experience this, then we generate our own sounds separate from the outside sounds of our hearing sense that is supposed to pick up and report. So it's outside of us is what he is saying.
It's outside of ourselves. It has nothing to do with our consciousness. So if you start getting, very platonic about this, if you dip into a little René Descartes, then you can arrive at the point where you say, well, tinnitus is something that comes from outside myself. Mm-hmm. It is in a way the horrible strumming of some awful god, perhaps, or God itself. Now we're going to leave it at that with this theory, but it is really interesting, and I highly recommend any of the more philosophically minded of our listeners do check that out. You can find it Shut Up and Listen on Psychology Today. George Mitchelson Foy, he'll get into to all of the philosophical ins and outs of that.
Now I believe that he is a sufferer of tinnitus
as
well,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think that he is trying to make light of this at all.
No.
So. Please don't take it as that, but I think that he's just trying to put it in a context of how do you live with something that is so pervasive and so sometimes disorienting to your own mind.
Yeah.
You begin to think of it in this as something that's otherworldly or outside of you.
Yeah, and certainly it's there enough that you have to start thinking of new ways to approach it and to sort of play with the idea and even maybe enjoy it on some level, as he does here with this thought experiment.
You know, I was thinking about this movie, and you're going to kill me because I can't think of the name of it right now. But
all right,
in it,
let's do it.
Okay,
let's try and figure
maybe
it out.
Maybe you'll remember this. Maybe it's called Another World. The premise is there's this female heroine who looks up and sees another Earth. Another Earth. There we go.
Another Earth. There you go. Yeah, I have not seen it, but I am familiar with it.
Okay. Well, there's a scene when she talks about a Russian cosmonaut, and he is in the space shuttle. And for 6 months, he's there, and at the beginning of his journey, he begins to hear this tap, 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 tap. And it's this awful tapping sound. Mm-hmm. And he realizes that for 6 months, he's going to have to live with this noise.
Mm.
And so he begins to make up this story about this noise, about how it's his lover, how it's this piece of music. And he recasts it as something to live with. And it's this beautiful moment in the film. In fact, if we can get some audio, we will certainly share that with you guys. But I thought, in some sense, tinnitus is sort of like that, or really any sort of auditory hallucinations outside of yourself. You sort of have to make them fit into your worldview.
Yeah, because we're pattern recognition engines. That's how we roll. Things that occur, even things that don't seem to line up with our senses, we have to come up with some sort of explanation for them. And in that, George Mitchelson Foy's theory really rings true, because it's kind of how we approach a lot of the things in our lives. Something unexplained happens, we have to explain it. We have to fit it into some understanding of the natural or even unnatural world.
Cognitive bias, right?
Yeah.
In a good light.
Yes. All right, well, on that note, let's call the robot over here and just run through a few quick listener mails. All right, this first one comes to us from Adam. Adam writes in and says, hey, guys, I've been enjoying your nose-to-tail series. You're picking haggis as the food of choice brought back a funny memory. I had 3 months of training in Edinburgh, Scotland, with a company I previously worked for. During my first week, an instructor told us to try haggis as it was, quote, in season. He went on to explain that a haggis is a small animal that lives in the Scottish Highlands. It's hard to find, but at the time it was hunting season, so they would be available at restaurants. To catch a haggis was an intricate process. You would first have to find a hole in the mountain grass where it's obviously been there burrowing. And then you stay on the same lateral path, not climbing or descending. You'd put up a mirror and wait for the haggis to leave its home. The sight of itself in the mirror would give it a heart attack and it would die. So although this sounds ridiculous, we were all in our early 20s from every corner of the globe, and I heard stranger stories that were from my Chinese and Omani colleagues. We had haggis that night, and the next day our instructor told us he was just kidding and then went on to explain what we really ate. The restaurant we went to even played along, not knowing we had been had. We asked if haggis was in season, and with a smile he replied, of course. The Scottish definitely have a sense of good sense of humor and like to share their national dish, even if they have to fib a bit to get you to try it. Thanks for the great show, and keep up the great work. Lots of love from Cyprus. And that's Adam, the chief happiness officer, of course.
That's right.
Happinessplunge.com, who's traveling the world doing good.
That's right. I was very excited to know that he's in Cyprus right now. Haggis was the featured dish that went down our digestive journey when we did the nose to tail. And I love that.
Yeah.
And now I have this phrase, to catch a haggis, in my brain, and I'm thinking of Hitchcock.
Picturing that in my head, the haggis running along in the mountain habitat and burrowing. It's great.
Yeah, a little haggis creature. What would that look like? I suppose the animals from which its organs come from.
All right, here's one from our listener, Jen. Jen writes in and says, Dear Robert and Julie, Stuff to Blow Your Mind is one of my favorite podcasts, and I listen to it all the time. Thank you so much for the work you do. The episodes are always exciting and insightful. I was reminded of something you might be interested in when I listened to your episode, Undercover Actors and the Shadow Self, in which Julie mentioned how costly it is for secret agents to keep in mind an entire cover story about themselves. When I was in grad school, I used to get sick all the time, whenever I got on a plane, which was often. It happened so often that I started joking about it. I said I had the immune system of a baby squirrel and that I was a canary in a coal mine, because if anybody on that plane had a cold or the flu, soon I would too. I kept up the joking for almost 10 years until I realized that for the last few years I hadn't gotten sick at all, even though I'd been traveling at the same rate as before. My diet and exercise hadn't changed, so what was it? I'd come out. In retrospect, the break between coal miner canary and quite healthy person can be placed cleanly in the couple of months that I came out as gay to everyone I knew. Even though my life had had periods of intense stress since then, I have never gotten sick at that rate, that seriously again. I had spent my life laying a cover story, fiction written for other people over my real self. It wasn't until I shucked it off that I realized how heavy that story was. Anyway, your podcast made me realize that even if I change careers in the future, one thing I never ever want to be is a spy. Thank you for all you do. Best, Jen.
I love that.
That's a great story.
That is a great story, and I think that speaks volumes to how we feel when we feel like we're suppressing something or things that are very important about ourselves that, as she says, you're putting a cover story over yourself.
Yeah, there's a cognitive and emotional toll to be had when you have to layer these layers of fiction over your real self.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, Jen, for sharing that.
So, everyone out there, I'm sure you have some feedback you'd like to give on this or other episodes, particularly if you, like Aaron, experience tinnitus in your daily life. Let us know how you deal with it. What are the methods that you use to treat it? Either methods that have been given to you or methods that you've sort of developed as your own way of coping with it. We'd love to hear your feedback on this. So, you can find us in a number of places. Of course, the mothership for everything we do is stufftoblowyourmind.com. You'll find our blogs there. You'll find our audio episode. You'll find our video. You'll find your lost car keys. It's all there. You can also find us on various social media networks. I mean, the big ones, of course, Facebook. We're Stuff to Blow Your Mind on that. We're on Tumblr. We're Stuff to Blow Your Mind. On Twitter, we're Blow the Mind. And on YouTube, our channel is Mind Stuff Show.
And just wanted to thank Aaron for sharing his story with us, for sharing the audio clip so that you all could get a sense of it, too. And if you guys want to write into us and let us know about your own experiences or any questions you may have, you can do so at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.